And good evening. This is Caroline Dowd Higgins, host of Career Coach Caroline. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm here to help you create your career destiny. And I'm really excited. I have a feeling that we're going to get some great calls this evening. It's a wonderful Tuesday night and career coaching is in the air. And I want to remind everybody who's listening that you can call me live and I will be delighted to answer your career coaching questions at 248-545-7685, and you can always instant feedback me your question at newskyradio.com. And I have a fantastic guest who is joining me tonight, Mr. Chuck Fry, who wrote a fantastic book called Up Your Impact, is joining me as a special guest. Chuck, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. How are you, Caroline?
Hey, I'm well. It's great to hear your voice. How are things?
Very good.
Good, good. Listen, thank you for spending your time tonight. I really, really look forward to our juicy conversation, but I want to tell our listeners all about you, and then we're going to dive into some great questions about the book and your career philosophy. So Chuck Fry has had a lifelong fascination with creativity and success, two topics that he's leveraged into a number of businesses. InnovationTools.com, which is the world's first innovation portal website, which he founded and ran for 10 years, and then Mind Mapping Software Blog, the world's leading blog on visual thinking and mapping. And most recently, Chuck published his new book titled Up Your Impact, 52 Innovative Strategies to Add Value to Your Work. And the purpose is to help people focus on contribution, creativity, and effective collaboration to increase their value in their work, improve job security, and uncover new opportunities. So, Chuck, thank you so much. I'm really thrilled that you're here. So what motivated you to write Up Your Impact?
Well, I've been in business for over 30 years, and I've survived through several recessions. And this time around, I really got tired of watching family members and close friends struggle through it. And actually, I went through a job loss 3 years ago and a transition there. And I see so many more people who are stuck today. They're barely tolerating their jobs. And I got to asking myself, well, why does it have to be this way? We can do better. This isn't the first time we've been through a recession. But what's different this time around is at the same time that most of these people are stuck in survival mode, just hunkering down, there's this tremendous sea change going on in business where the old industrial model is going away, the whole idea of do what you're told and follow orders, and the company's going to take care of you, and we all know that's not going to be the case anymore.
Those days are gone.
People are still kind of passively riding it out and hoping for the best, when the need is really for all hands now to be creative, not just some isolated R&D department or a skunkworks team, but all hands to help drive change, to help drive growth. And leaders are looking for people to step forward and do this.
And I agree. And it's such a vital mindset shift, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. Which makes it seem strange that so few people are doing it.
I know. But with your wisdom and expertise, and if I can humbly say mine and all the other folks that we have out in the world who are trying to encourage people to take more control of their careers, I think we can help them. So you talk about Up Your Impact as a book and a workbook. So what do you mean by that?
Well, I was really trying to create something that people could use, not just something that they'd read once on their Kindle and then forget about. Excuse me. And so I wrote it as a series of quick read summaries, 1 to 2 pages long, so you can digest them in just a few minutes, just essential need-to-know information. And then each strategy is followed by several action items, things you can do now with what you've just learned. And I wanted to challenge the readers of the book to take action and to make these next steps really explicit, so you don't even have to think about what to extract out of these strategies, but I'm giving you some starters to get you going.
And, you know, I so appreciate that because so many people that I talk to, whether my students or my career coaching clients or professionals that I meet out in the world when I'm speaking, they say, I don't have time for a book. But this they have time for. You're a consummate blogger, so you understand brevity and being pithy and giving people tangible action steps. So I want to tell our audience how valuable this format is, and it does empower them to take action.
Chuck, it actually gives the reader a few different ways to consume the book, Caroline. First of all, you know, it is 52 strategies, so you could take one strategy per week, obviously.
Right.
You could also skim through it and look for strategies that you feel are the most relevant to your needs now, focus on one of those for several weeks and really try and move the needle, and then use the momentum you've gained from that to then go back and pull out some other strategies and work on those. It's kind of a stair-step approach to increasing your success.
I like that. I often call that the baby step approach, right? Little steps are still going to get you there. You've got to pace yourself. It's more of a marathon than a sprint. And likewise, I appreciate that you can skip around the book, right, and see what resonates with you and what you might implement sooner than later. So you and I are on the same page in that we believe in building a brand for yourself. And I often talk to my clients about how they can differentiate themselves so they can stand out. So what are some of the ways that you recommend that our listeners can distinguish themselves in this very competitive job market?
One of the things I talk about in the book is if you do have some wins, you know, a successful project or an idea that you brought forward that's created a lot of value for the company, make sure you're communicating those things actively to your boss and the other people in your internal network, because everyone's busy these days. They're more or less in triage mode after downsizings, and they may be aware that you're working on some things, but they may not realize the specifics of what you've accomplished. So it's always good to point that out, make sure that you're on their radar, and kind of phrase it in terms of what's in it for them. And for most higher level executives, it's usually something bottom line oriented. If you have the desire to write it all, I encourage people to blog and use social media, simply because even if writing is not your profession, it shows that you can communicate clearly, concisely, and persuasively, and that's important in just about any kind of a professional position today. And it demonstrates your passion and your expertise in a very tangible way.
I would agree. I think it's so important for us to train our bosses. And I say that very respectfully. You know, our bosses are busy doing their jobs, and quite often they don't know what we're doing. So that whole concept of managing up and letting them know how you're successful, how you're adding to the bottom line of the organization or the mission of the organization. Excellent. Chuck, we just got a lovely email that came in. Grace from Baltimore writes, "I get the concept of upping your game in the corporate world, but I work for a nonprofit. It's an Asperger support organization, and we provide resources for Asperger clients and their families. I'm not really sure how I can up my game in this arena. Chuck, what do you think?" Grace, that's an excellent question. Chuck, I'll let you take a stab at that. I have some ideas as well, but what are your thoughts?
Prior to the position I have now, I formerly worked for a trade association for 14 years, so I understand that dynamic very well. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is to increase your impact within your current job, but it also doesn't hurt to increase your impact in the larger space in which you play. So, you know, if you can make a name for yourself in the industry or profession that you're in or within the Asperger's world, that's always a wonderful thing because it makes you visible to other people who can help you move your career forward. So it's a lot of the same principles in a nonprofit. You still have a small number of positions that are available for you to move up into. You need to position yourself well with the people in charge so that they understand that you're adding value. I don't think it's all that much different.
Grace, I'm just going to dovetail on what Chuck said, and I agree with him 100%. My understanding is that Asperger's is becoming more widely diagnosed and recognized. So perhaps you can think of yourself as someone in the organization who can expand this concept nationally. You know, I think it's wonderful that you're in an organization supporting Asperger's clients and family. So perhaps consider providing these resources beyond the community in which you live and serve. So my question for you is, what do you value in your career? What are you looking for, right? Are you happy and content? And if so, great. But if not, how can you add value to your career? You can. You need to think about what you want and take that quiet time. So thank you for writing in, Grace. We really appreciate it and wish you great success. We'll be cheering you on. Okay, Chuck, let's give another scenario, right? So let's say that I'm an executive in a large corporation in my 40s and my career has plateaued. So, you know, the reality of the recession we're all experiencing is added to that. How can your book, Up Your Impact, help me?
I make the point in the book that if you're at mid-career and you're feeling stuck, first of all, you need to take charge of your own continuing education, because more knowledge means more opportunities and more ways that you can contribute. And in the old days, companies used to do a lot of the training or make the training available for you. Now you're kind of on your own, so you really have to take that bull by the horns. differentiating yourself. We've talked about that a little bit, but it's helpful in terms of understanding what that means to think of yourself as a product. Why would somebody want to buy your services, whether that's somebody internally who's considering you for a promotion or somebody externally who's considering you for a new job? What makes
Very
you
good.
Unique? What's the unique combination of skills, experience, and background that you bring to the table? And making that very, very clear. Looking to contribute more ideas and passion and solutions within the frame of your job is very important. And a lot of people feel, I think, beat down by this economy and the downsizings and the cultural things that happen within the typical corporation that just make them feel tired of the whole mess. But you still need to outgrow your job, and that's really job one that I'm talking about in this book, is how do you add value, outgrow your job, even if your bosses don't take all of the ideas that you bring forward, trust me, they're going to appreciate the fact that you're thinking about the business in creative ways, because very few other people are.
Very true. It's so easy to complain in this economy, and you're saying be a solution provider. Excellent,
exactly.
Excellent. So we just got a great instant feedback via Facebook that came in from Sue, who writes, I'm graduating college in May, so I'm job hunting. How can I up my impact in the career I don't even have yet? Sue, that's an excellent question. Let me take a stab at that, and then I'm going to share that with Chuck because I know he'll have some wisdom for you as well. You know, the truth is this is a really important time to up your impact. While you're out there networking, circulating, letting people know what you're interested in, you need to distinguish yourself and the return on investment that you bring for potential organizations when you're on the job hunt. How do you stand out? What's your special sauce? How do you step away from the pack in a competitive market? So I believe upping your impact is more important now than ever. Chuck, what are your thoughts?
Definitely. I think you need to very clearly understand what makes you unique, what unique strengths you bring to the table. And don't be afraid to get really creative in terms of how you market yourselves. Somebody just made a big impact. I saw it on Twitter and a few other places just in the last week where they designed their resume as if they were the product on an Amazon page. And it was amazing. It was
nice.
The coolest idea I've ever seen. And just some of the nuances that this guy wrote into this about, just following the standard sections that you'd see on an Amazon product page was just phenomenal.
Brilliant, brilliant. I love that. I'm going to have to Google that and see if I can find it. What a great idea. So let's talk about this age group, because I certainly know that they're listening, and this is a population that I work with by day. So let's talk about these emerging professionals and the new college grads. What should they focus on in order to meet the needs of employers going forward, and what trends should they be aware of?
Well, some of the things that I'm looking at, Caroline, include, as I mentioned, innovation. It's becoming very important to every company, and developing creative problem-solving skills is some way you can expand your personal innovation, if you will.
Nice.
And there are creative problem-solving techniques you can learn. I talk about some of them in the book. But the whole idea of being able to look at a situation, look beneath the surface, look at the implications and what's missing, and be able to gather and distill information and to see trends that others aren't even noticing. There's some real value there.
Nice.
It involves deeply studying the industry or the profession that you're working in and trying to see some of these things kind of from the outside in. Why is this way? How could it be done better? Are there some industries or professions that are close to this where this problem's already been solved? Maybe there's some things we can grab hold of and adapt to our needs that we haven't really thought about yet.
I really like that, Chuck, because so many job seekers are just online applying to positions that are posted. And I really believe, in addition to getting out there to be seen and heard, you've got to do your industry research, right? What are the trends and what are the things that you can do to solve the problems and be the solution provider? So thank you for that. That's really insightful and an important way for our job seekers to be more proactive and more engaged. So you're generating a lot of great questions. Chuck, Jonathan from Philly just wrote, Philadelphia, my company's laying off and I'm afraid I'll be next. Can I up my impact to protect my job? Wow. I'm feeling for you, Jonathan. It's always scary when you know that the layoff is potentially coming. let me say first, I believe that you should, at this point, be very proactive and show why you can be indispensable, right? Stay positive, show your value, talk about what you do well. But you've also got to be wise, because sometimes it goes beyond that and it's purely budgetary. Think about your exit strategy so you can plan before you need it. But Chuck, would you like to address Jonathan's idea of upping your impact in light of a layoff?
Absolutely. You know, it depends how close this layoff is. It may be too late to do anything in this case, but if you do have time, like Caroline said, look for ways to distinguish yourself. I mentioned a great analogy in the book, a story I came across many years ago. Think about when ships were sailing the North Atlantic a couple of centuries ago and they hit rough seas. What got thrown overboard to keep the ship from capsizing? Very simply, anything that was non-essential to the operation of the ship. And unfortunately, that's the way companies approach downsizing. They're looking for people they can outplace, operations they can shut down that aren't contributing sufficient value. So if you're contributing 10x, you know, what you're being paid, you're much less likely to get laid off than if you're on the bubble and you're just kind of barely squeaking by.
Very good point. So you've really got to distinguish yourself and prove why you shouldn't be thrown overboard.
Exactly.
Okay, nicely done. Jonathan, we'll be cheering you on. Best wishes, and get out there and up your impact. Get this book. It'll certainly help you. So interesting Facebook message just came in. Lois writes, "Sadly, I hate my job, so I don't want to up my impact there. How do I start clean with this concept?" That's an excellent question. Chuck, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, again, we've been talking about these themes throughout this show so far, is that you got to take inventory of yourself, figure out what your strengths are, figure out what you want to be doing, what the ideal job looks like, and then start building your skills in those areas to take you that direction, and look at how to position your LinkedIn profile and your story to move that direction.
I would add to that. I agree with Chuck 100%, Lois, and I would just say, this is such a great time. You have a clean slate, my dear. This is a great time to define your personal brand, right? And if you want to start fresh, that's wonderful. So as Chuck said, you've got to get quiet with yourself. I like to say you've got to shut off the monkey chatter in your brain, right? And really, really give yourself time to think about, what do you value? What are you interested in? What is your personality, and how might that play a role in your career choice? And what are your strengths? So this is a time for you to start fresh and think about what you want. So use this time where you're miserable in your job to plan ahead so you can be more in control. Lois, we are cheering you on. Wish you great success. So thank you very much for writing. Chuck, what is the number one piece of advice that you would give for those wanting more out of their career?
I've already touched on it a bit, Caroline, the whole idea of expanding your creative problem-solving skills, because that is something that is in demand. I think all bosses expect you to kind of take charge of your area and to look for opportunities to improve it and do it better. Literally everything you're doing now can be improved, and if you can take charge of that, and add that value that that accrues to you, and it can really position you well for the future.
I'm going to ask you if you can give us an example, because I really appreciate that you truly have had this lifelong fascination with creativity and success. Might there be an example that you could tell us about where someone was creating a solution with the use of creativity, right, offering a solution based on creativity?
Well, there's numerous tools and even apps for smartphones that can help you, and they don't make you be creative. They're catalysts, if you will. Your brain works by association, so they give you words and images and other stimuli to help get you thinking in fresh directions.
Great.
And I'm a big believer in those.
Can you unpack mind mapping for us a little more? I'm intrigued by that. And I know, do you still maintain your mind mapping software blog?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us about mind mapping.
Mind mapping was developed a number of years ago for brainstorming and for memorization. But it's grown way beyond that. There are software programs that I believe are the right tool for the times today, because they allow you to gather, organize, distill, and communicate information in some very powerful ways. And essentially, a mind map, you have a central topic, And then you have first-level topics branching off of that with lines, kind of like a spider almost.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to think of it is almost like a visual outline. Remember the hierarchical outlines that everyone had to work through in school?
Right.
Well, this is kind of a radial version of that, if you will. But it's a great way to organize information and to make sense of things. And because it works the way your brain does by association, it's a great way to brainstorm and to see new possibilities, to see what's missing. Whether you're writing or planning or trying to keep track of a to-do list, there's a lot of things you can do with this type of tool, whether you use a piece of software or you do it hand-drawn.
Very nice. Very nice. So, Chuck, I'd love for you to give us one little taste of the book. So you've got 52 innovative strategies to add value to your work. Can you pick one and give us a little teaser, and then we're going to talk about how to get your book?
Let's see. I'm looking at a mind map of the book right now.
There you go. Well done.
Pick one. Engaging in lifelong learning. That's something that I talk about early in the book. You need to really grow your knowledge. You can't just consider yourself done when you've graduated from high school or college. Things are changing too fast. Knowledge is being obsoleted too fast. And so you need to take charge of that yourself. We talked about that a little bit earlier. There's a number of ways you can do that. Obviously, business books, books in the area of your profession or industry, going to industry conferences, getting involved in industry associations. I've served on some trade association committees that turned out to be marvelous ways to network with people and to ask questions and gain some of this tacit knowledge that they have. And so there's all sorts of ways. You can take many different types of classes, obviously, webinars. There's a wealth of ways to grow your knowledge. Just have some goals for what areas you want to focus on and then really dig deep into those. And spend some time thinking about what you've learned and how you're going to apply it to up your impact.
Very nice. I just want to add to that. I think so often we are frustrated in this economy because we don't have access to raises and promotions like we used to. And people are afraid to ask for professional development funding. But I will tell you that most organizations have a different bucket for that kind of money. So this very kind of lifelong learning that Chuck has outlined might be something that you do have access to in your organization. And you'll never get it if you don't ask. So be courageous and get out there and ask for us.
Right. I think a lot of the formal budgets have gone away with the recession, but there's still pockets of money there. And if you can make a case for why you need this training and what value it will bring to the company, they may just say yes.
Exactly right. So, Chuck, what a pleasure to have you on the air with me tonight and our listening audience. Tell us how we can buy your book and follow you online. Perhaps give us your website address.
Right. There's a website for the book and a blog at upyourimpact.com. And you can also find links to buy the book from there. There's a Kindle version, which I recently launched, which is just the book, the 52 strategies and the action items. And then there's, I'm calling it a deluxe version, that's a PDF book plus some worksheets and mind maps and some expert interviews. And as far as where you can follow me online, obviously you can go to the website or the blog, but I also have a Twitter account at UpYourImpact, all one word. If you go to Google Plus and search on the book name, not all one word, but Up Your Impact, that should be the first thing that comes up. And there's also a Facebook page at facebook.com/UpYourImpact.
Excellent. Chuck, thank you so much for sharing your time and expertise. What a pleasure to have you on. I highly recommend that all of our listeners get out there and read Up Your Impact. What an excellent resource. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, you take good care, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned to Career Coach Caroline on Coach Me Radio, powered by CBS and the Sky.